This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So the first question that comes to mind, Aaron, when I hear about Jay Inslee having to pay off the... is he going to send those maggot-infested apples to Texas, do we know?
I thought you might bring that up, Dory. I hope not. I mean, I hope they're good and clean and crisp, as their name would suggest. Cosmic crisps, right?
It would really suggest that.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to also say welcome to you because we have shuffled our news anchor schedule, and Heather Bosch has been working on our show and then on Tom and Curly, and you guys are kind of flip-flopping here. So Heather's going to be doing mornings, and you're going to be working on our show. And,
indeed.
And I love Heather, and I'm also really looking forward to working with you. I think... we haven't overlapped that. It's weird in these COVID times that, you know, and we were, you know, co-workers long before COVID, but you know, I've literally gone a year without seeing most of my co-workers like you.
Yeah. I mean, I started here about 2 years ago, and I've had like, I want to say like four or five different shifts at this point. So I was afternoon, I was night, I was morning, I was kind of all day. Now here I am, noon to three, and then three to six. So it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I just think you do fantastic work, and I'm just looking forward to working with you on the show. So I just wanted to say welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Dory. I appreciate that. Happy to be here.
Because, you know, Sean gets very lonely there in the studio.
Yeah.
Since Nicole and I are working from home. And you don't have any choice, Sean.
Right. No, I don't have any choice, but it's nice. We're in separate studios, so I can still be lonely but see someone there.
Yeah. And then, Nicole, are you ever going back in the building?
I hope not. I like this home setup. It saves me gas money. It saves me time getting ready in the morning, all that. Like, I really like the setup. Now, I would like to see some coworkers again. So I would like maybe once in a while to go in for meetings and things like that and be able to see people at happy hours or something. But I really enjoy working from this space.
And that's exactly what I would like to see happen as well. You go in for meetings so you can tell me what I missed.
I'm
planning on. If I can arrange to do it from home. How long is your commute, Aaron? You don't have too long a commute, do you?
Currently live in Bellevue. Depending if I want to pay the toll on 520, it would take about 15 minutes. If I go the roundabout way, it'll be 20 minutes.
He's got a good schedule for commuting.
Yeah, that's true.
At this
point.
All right. Well, we're gonna do a lot of cool stuff together. You know, I was gonna drag you into this, but I don't think it's gonna happen this year. But Nicole and I have been talking. We were gonna revive our summer adventure series. And I was going to involve you in that this year. Are you familiar with the Summer Adventure series?
I am not. Love to learn more.
Something we did several years ago. It was actually before your time, Nicole. So you've never been part of this.
Nope, but I've been hearing about it for years.
Yeah, well, and if... I just don't think it's going to happen this year. But I have, Aaron, a lifetime... goals list. It's not a bucket list, but it's a goals list. And several of the more adventurous things, I thought it would be fun to take the listeners along. So live on the air, I've skydived a couple of times. I've jumped off the highest bungee bridge in North America. Drove a NASCAR 140 miles an hour. And so... whenever we get this going again, if you and I can can hold on to our jobs long enough, I'm hoping I can get you involved in some of these things.
I'd love to. I'm not a huge adventure seeker, but I'm game. I would never go skydiving. My wife tried to get me to do that, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and I said no thanks. She's done it. But bungee jumping? No. No thank you.
I will tell you right now, bungee jumping is 100 times scarier than skydiving.
I believe that. Yeah, you're way closer to the ground.
Well, yeah. When you skydive, it's so abstract. I mean, you're looking out over this checkerboard, and I don't think there's enough in your human experience to really make the fear mechanism kick in. But when you're standing 200 feet above a river. Right. Then the fear really does kick you.
Yeah, I could see that. I like hikes.
Okay.
I like hiking. I like hiking.
Hikes?
Yeah, I'm good with hikes. I'm good with, you know.
Oh, I thought you said heights.
Hike. Well, hikes. I don't mind heights, but I like nice views.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I like heights. I just hate widths. Okay, I got to get out of here. I got to get some news here. All right, Aaron, welcome aboard. We're happy to have you. Okay, Aaron Granillo will be doing the news anchoring during the big show here. Okay, let's get into the fastest 15. By the way, the height-width thing, I know I just ripped off Stephen Wright. So for the big Stephen Wright fans, I had to acknowledge my plagiarism there. There is new body cam audio from the incident a couple of months ago that involved Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer. And if you know the story, Ed Troyer was up 2 a.m. at his house when he saw a car slowly going up and down the street. And being the Pierce County Sheriff, newly elected, he, you know, it's 2 in the morning, a car slowly going and stopping in front of some of the houses, and he thought there might be something going on. So he went out, and in the encounter, we're hearing two different stories, but it's a story that seemingly has been completely hatched by the Seattle Times, because the guy driving the car, he didn't file a complaint, but somehow the Seattle Times, 2 months later, found out about it, and they decided to make it a big front page story. And what it alleged, essentially, is that Ed Troyer, who's white, accosted a 25-year-old black newspaper delivery man for the Tacoma News Tribune. And in some of the first audio that we heard, Ed Troyer said, "Hey, we send some cars out here. There's a guy in my neighborhood, and he's threatened to kill me." We don't have that on tape. And then in a later interview with Tacoma Police, since he's Pierce County Sheriff, they wanted a different jurisdiction handling. It wasn't even an investigation. They just wanted to know what's going on when the Seattle Times decided to make a big deal about this. So then he supposedly later said that the guy said, and do you remember the phrase, Nicole? We actually have it on tape when we interviewed Troyer, but he didn't say the second time, "The guy said he's going to kill me. Take me out." That was the phrase. In the interview with Tacoma Police, Ed Troyer said, "Yeah, the guy said he was going to take me out," which to me meant the same thing, and that's why I said he said he was going to kill me. Okay, so now it's become this huge racial incident. Ed Troyer's been on the job 35 years, has never had one complaint of him being racist. He spends so much of his time. He and his wife have foster kids. They have grandchildren, mixed race. He has a black grandson. And never one complaint about him being racist. And the Seattle Times seems to want Ed Troyer fired. He's spent so much of his life doing food drives and collecting toys for Toys for Tots in the Hilltop neighborhood, which is, was for most of his career a predominantly African-American neighborhood. And so now they want the guy fired. There's some vendetta. And as I've said, I don't know Ed Troyer personally very well. But I've known him professionally for a long, long time, and he's just always seemed to be rock solid. So this Seattle Times witch hunt against the guy is really bizarre. So anyway, brand new body cam footage just released. Channel 4 obtained this. And in it, I'm going to play it for you, because what we know about the newspaper delivery guy, it's 2 in the morning. He apparently was driving with his headlights off. And there's a reasonable explanation for that. If there's nobody on the street, maybe you don't want to shine your headlights into the houses of sleeping people. But to a cop who sees this, 99 times out of 100, It's probably somebody who's, looking to rob a place, regardless of the race of the driver. But that's kind of a cop's instinct. Now, we since have learned that the newspaper delivery guy, he has some domestic violence and assault cases in his background. So he's had some run-ins with the law. And so him being kind of hot, getting out of the car, is understandable. It's also consistent with what's in his rap sheet. Ed Troyer, wondering why a guy's going up and down the street with headlights off, wanting to protect your neighbors and your neighborhood, that's understandable. So, bottom line, this seems like a non-story to me. But Seattle Times wants to get a cop fired because they are absolutely committed to stoking as much racial division as possible. And I'll get to why in just a couple of minutes here. But anyway, so here is the latest webcam audio of the encounter between Ed Troyer and the newspaper delivery guy. And of course, as I'm saying, is that bumped up to the top here, Nicole?
There wasn't anything to pull from. Yeah, no. Remember,
You don't have the audio.
Nope, there wasn't. Oh. It's just other cops talking, and there's no actual
audio.
We talked about it.
The guy's hot. The newspaper delivery guy. He's angry, and you can hear that anger. But there's nothing fireable here, and they didn't put the guy on the ground in handcuffs. They didn't take him to jail. They sent him on his way. And we have a Tacoma member of the council who've called for Ed Troyer to resign. You have this Tacoma ministerial commission that worked with Ed Troyer on Toys for Tots, and they've called for his resignation. And just the fact that in a benign incident where nobody was taken to the ground, nobody was sent to jail, they had a disagreement, they resolved it, they sent the guy on his way, Ed Troyer goes back to bed, and then 2 months later, the Seattle Times tries to make this into an incident where a 35-year cop should get fired. It is an absolutely disgusting media witch hunt by the Seattle Times. I'm telling you that right now. And so if there's anything, and look, I'll stay open-minded. If there's some evidence that comes out that, something happens beyond what we currently know, I will be honest with you and I will deal with it honestly. But I'm telling you right now, to try to suggest that a 35-year cop career should come to an end because of this absolute non-story at the Seattle Times, it's simply outrageous. All right, next up. What time do I have here? Yeah, I got a little time here. Next up in the fastest 15. Now I'm having computer problems here. Hunter Biden is back in the news. He did an interview with CBS News. And the laptop that he knew nothing about, the laptop that would have presented tremendous problems for his father's presidential campaign. Now, a couple months after Inauguration Day, Hunter Biden says, yeah, well, it might have been mine after all. I'm thinking about
was
it.
Was that your laptop?
For real? I don't know.
I know, but you know that's... This
I
is
really a... don't know okay. the answer is. That's
you don't know yes or no if the laptop
I don't have
was
any
yours.
Idea. I have no idea.
So could have been you.
By the way, when you're 50-something years old and you start an answer with, for real? I don't know. For real? That's a tell. That's a tell right there.
Of course, certainly. There could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me. There could be that I was hacked. It could be that it was Russian intelligence. It could be that it was stolen from me.
Could have been stolen. Could have been mine. Could have been lost. He just doesn't know. He also talked with CBS about his drug use and how when there would be drugs and he was afraid that some had fallen off the table onto the floor, he would crawl on the floor and gather up anything that looked like it might be cocaine or crack cocaine that he could smoke. And he said that on more than one occasion, it was Parmesan cheese that looked like it might have been cocaine.
Yeah, I spent more time on my hands and knees picking through rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resembled crack cocaine. I probably smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone, anyone that you know, I'm sure, Tracy.
Okay, and I don't find that to be funny, and I certainly don't find that to be something that people should make fun of, because drug addiction is a horrible thing. And if he has worked to get clean, then God bless him, and I hope he does get clean. There was one thing that came out of this interview, however, that I find to be reprehensible, and that is in all of his bios, he says that he has four children, when the truth is he has five. He impregnated a waitress down south, and she is in their baby. He is the father. And he now is saying in these interviews that he doesn't remember this woman at all. He acknowledges that he's sure that he had a baby with her because the DNA proves it. But he says he doesn't know anything about this woman. He doesn't remember her. And I'll absolutely forgive somebody for their drug use and the horrible perils of addiction. But when you bring a life into this world and to this day do not even acknowledge the existence of that life, when your father is the president of the United States, that's disgusting. And that is reprehensible. Drug addiction, that's a disease, but this is just really a mentally sick way to handle it. Yes, Nicole.
Oh, I thought you were gonna throw it to break there, and I said if you wanted that Troyer audio, it's in there really quick if you want to play that dash cam video.
Oh, or body yeah, cam video. I'll play it real quick right here, just because I want everybody to hear some context of a guy, the newspaper carrier, who was I don't blame him if somebody's following him in the middle of the night. But also, when you hear just how angry and how hot he came out, this is several minutes after other cops had responded. And it's not that unreasonable to believe Troyer's side of the story, where he said, yeah, this guy's really hot.
Okay.
I'm a black male in a white neighborhood, and I'm working.
That has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it does. No. He's following me.
Okay.
Okay, well, he was following you because it was 2 in the morning, headlights were out, and he's a cop who wanted to make sure that everything was cool in his neighborhood. And I don't know about you, but I've done that. If my neighbors are out of town and I see a light go on at their house, I'll check it out. I'll call the police, but I'll also go and check it out. I make sure that I'm taken care of, that I'm, you know, prepared if something goes wrong. But I'll call 911, but I'll go and check things out. I think that's what good neighbors do. So I just want you to hear the tone of the guy's voice, because it's consistent with Troyer saying, yeah, he said he was going to take me out, or whatever the quote was. Okay, there you have it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you a whirl. Coming up next, Dave Wyman is going to come by this half hour, but it's going to be in the second half of the half hour, right after we check the news. A cancel culture update straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Now, I've asked this before, Sean. What's this bumper?
Yeah, this bumper is, the song is called Golden Light, and I can't really say the name of the band on the air. It's inappropriate.
Okay. I'd like to remove it from the rotation.
Oh, you don't like it?
It's very nondescript. It does nothing for me.
Oh.
I don't dislike it. I don't like it.
Mm.
It's just, and to me, that's the worst. If you're apathetic about something.
Right.
So,
Well, then plus, in that case, I don't know how I get into work every day.
I don't get it.
Anyway.
Okay.
Out of the rotation.
Out of the rotation. Let's remove it. Plus, let's freshen it up. You know how I love your taste in most music. We should roll a few new ones in the next week or two. What do you say?
I say yes, I can do that. I think that's very possible.
Si se puede. Or as Joe Biden would say, si se puede. Yes, we can. Okay, that's my request here. As you know, we've been talking a lot about hate crimes, in particular Asian victim hate crimes. And we ran the numbers, got numbers from the King County Prosecutor's Office, because a couple of weeks ago there was a big anti-Asian hate crime rally. And I think that is something we all support, anti-Asian hate crimes, anti-Black hate crimes, anti-white hate crimes. I think we're against all of those things. Anti-Jewish, anti-Muslim. I'm just against hate crimes. Okay? But one of the whole issues at these rallies has been there's always signs, end white supremacy. And the stats just don't back up that that's the source of the hate crimes. And so I went to the King County Prosecutor's Office. I didn't physically go there, but I contacted them. I sent in my request. As always, I like to have numbers, because I am your data daddy. And there have been two charged hate crimes in King County so far this year. Against Asians, and in both cases, the suspects are Black. There was a horrible, brutal attack a few months ago, and the video was just released last week of an older Korean couple and a 15-year-old Black teenager has been charged in that crime. There was, in the International District, Asian woman, a Japanese teacher at Inglemoor High School. She wants it charged as a hate crime when a guy put a rock in a sock and swung it and smashed her face in. That was a homeless guy. I'm guessing mental illness has much more to do with race, but that was a Black guy who's the suspect in that crime. And yet, the storyline that's always push, is that this has something to do with white supremacy. And the truth is, across the country, the trend line is the greatest growth in charged hate crimes is Black on Asian. So why has this white supremacy storyline been pushed so feverishly by activists and by the media and by politicians? Charles Barkley is one of the finest analysts on television, and he is a sports analyst. But when Charles Barkley talks about social issues, he's worth listening to because he's a smart guy. But most importantly, he does not mind speaking his truth. He doesn't say things because it's what people want to hear from him. And Charles Barkley had been working, covering the NCAA tournament for CBS. He was talking about why are these phony storylines about white supremacy or any race. Why do they always push these phony storylines?
Most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people. But we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they are Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other.
Oh, he is so smart when he says something like that. And that's why fear is what is driving so much of the dialogue these days. It's why we're told that we have to mask up even after we're vaccinated because we have to keep you fearful. We have to keep us, the powerful, the politicians, we have to stay in control of your life. And fear is one of the greatest ways to control people. Don't ever forget that. Okay, let me take a quick time out here, and then Dave Wyman's going to join us for a slightly abbreviated Tuesday with Dave. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. On this one.
Yeah, I should. This is stupid.
You should know this, Dave.
I know I have this CD somewhere. It doesn't work. I don't have anywhere to play it. Is this Rat?
No.
Is it?
There are so many people mad at you right now.
I know. None
is
more
it poison?
Than me.
No, Dory, it's not.
It's not rat.
It's not rat poison?
Oh.
Huh. Okay.
All right. Well,
I don't have a chance at this
Just
one.
Just give Who it to me it? And I'm going to be mad.
Metallica.
Yeah.
Dave.
How could you not know that, Dave?
I don't know. I wasn't
That's
the
shameful.
Hugest Metallica fan. That was about the time I started to kind of get out of the... You know, I was more of like an 80s rock guy. Not the hardcore,
yeah.
You know, hair band stuff.
I understand.
So much.
Okay.
That's my excuse.
All right. It's still 0-0. Dave, how are you? I haven't talked to you for a while.
I know. I feel an hour and 45-minute phone call coming on.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready anytime. In fact, I desperately need to tell.
Yeah.
Not now.
What? Are you all right?
We'll talk. We'll talk tonight.
More mentally than physically. No, I'm kidding.
I will say I've heard that our wives are doing some fun planning though.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. I have to tell you, I don't get really into sports teams that much anymore. But my gosh, I felt bad when Gonzaga couldn't finish out the first undefeated perfect season since 1976 because I fell in love with that team, Dave.
Yeah, did you? I mean, Jalen Suggs, that kid was so easy to like. You know, and it's funny, I know he was like a big-time athlete, but that Timmy kid,
yeah.
He came from like Richardson, Texas. I mean, where is Richardson? I'm sure it's a suburb of Dallas or something, but still, I mean, they draw in all of these just great these great athletes that I don't want to say Spokane's in the middle of nowhere. I love Spokane, But, I mean, it's not like a metropolitan city or anything like that. And they just, they recruit so well there. Mark Few, I was so disappointed. I thought it was really funny. Paul Gallant, who was on our on the AM side, him and Mike Lefko, our producer, went. And they said they went to the bar, and not only were there no girls there, but everybody was mad. So that was their experience when they went out to watch the game. There was no girls, and everybody was mad at Gonzaga.
And were those two things related?
No, it's just that it was a total bummer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, and then you know, and then I had the Mariner game taped, and so I went and watched that, and that was terrible too. So, but yeah, it was so disappointing.
Here's the thing about Gonzaga. It's I agree with you on you know, just the storyline of what they have been able to assemble. And I do think that Mark Few is one of the great coaches in American sports. But for me, Dave, it's the way they play. It is such a throwback. They run and they fly, but they're not selfish. It's not just fire up threes. It's very much a basketball like you would have seen with the Lakers and Celtics in the 1980s, where it's this phenomenal passing and court vision and unselfishness and all of those things that I think is making, you know, most of basketball unwatchable. These guys reminded me of the purity of the sport.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I always say, I like watching women's basketball sometimes more than men's, because it's more about passing and running an offense and working together and everything. And so, you know, and you're not going to see monstrous, you know, thunder dunks or anything like that and firing up threes. I mean, there's great three-point shooters, but yeah, and so that was some small consolation, by the way. Stanford winning the national championship, first time since 1990. But, yeah, I agree with you. I thought the style of basketball, but they were just never in that. And there was at one point, I thought, where they could have hit an and one and didn't hit it, and it would have made it like 10-point game. It was just no fun. No fun.
Oh, Leonard Skinner.
Good job, Dory.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
If I had got to whiskey bottle, if I'd have just heard that.
I know. What was I going to say about one other thing about Gonzaga? Oh, I knew the game was over 3.5 minutes in when they gave up 5 offensive rebounds. You cannot give great teams that many second and third chances. And they came out so unprepared that I thought it was over almost before it began last night.
Yeah, the old basketball coach in you came out there, didn't it?
Ooh, the old coach did not like the way they were playing last night.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, there's a quick conversation, but you got a radio show to go do there on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Sure do. All right, but it was a pleasure being on, and we'll talk soon. Hi, Nicole.
Give me a call soon.
Hi, Sean. All right. See you guys.
Okay, I got a lot to talk with you about.
Okay.
All right, Dave Wyman. You can hear him every afternoon, 710 ESPN Seattle. We'll check the news for you, and then Big Lead at 2. Coming up next. Can't you smell that smell? Out with as he leaves the studio.